That day, cutting through the verdant sea like some predatory sea creature, came a wedge-shaped cluster of munes dressed in black cloaks and skullcaps, guarded by a contingent of tow-headed Ichani warriors whose silver eyes darted vigilantly and whose metallic bodysuits masked the translucency of their skin. At the leading edge of the wedge marched an elder mune with a whiskered chin and stooped shoulders who was making directly for Highport's customs control station, where Higo Damask, as Plagueis was known to everyone but the late Darth Tenebris, and 114D were waiting amid a contingent of security personnel.
"We came as soon as Highport Immigration notified us," Larsh Hill said. "If you had contacted us from deep space demolition, we could have sent a ship, rather than have you rely on Bas Cabra's specious hospitality."
"No one seems to believe that I'm capable of finding my own way home," Damask said. Hill's long face wrinkled.
"I don't understand."
"It's not important that you do. Suffice it to say that your dispatching a ship would only have resulted in further delay."
Like Hill and his coterie of half a dozen, Damask's hairless head was encased in a tight-fitting bonnet, and the hem of his black coat swept the polished floor.
"You were expected days ago," Hill said with a note of exasperation.
"Events of an unforeseen nature prevented me from returning earlier."
"A successful journey, nevertheless, I assume?"
"You assume correctly."
Hill relaxed somewhat.
"We shouldn't tarry here any longer than necessary. Transport is waiting."
At Hill's gesture, the black-cloaked munes began to angle toward the skyhook turbolifts, four of the silver-suited warriors falling in to flank Damask and the droid, which walked behind him.
"You're limping," Hill said in hushed urgency. "Are you injured?"
"Healing," Damask said. "Make no further mention of it."
"We could postpone the gathering."
"No, it will take place as scheduled."
"But I'm relieved to hear that," Hill said, "since several of your guests are already in transit to Sojourn."
The group was halfway to the turbolifts when a faction of banking clan officials deliberately cut across their path, forcing them to halt. The faction's obvious leader, a mune of middle age, separated himself from the rest and moved to the front.
"Magister Damask," he said, "what a surprise to encounter you here among the rabble."
Damask adopted a faint grin.
"Excluding yourself, of course, Chairman Toneth."
Toneth stiffened.
"We're simply passing through."
"As are we," Damask said, motioning to Hill and the rest.
"You've been traveling, Magister."
"A business trip, Chairman."
"Of course."
It was Toneth's turn to show a weak smile.
"But in that case, perhaps you haven't heard that the Senate is on the verge of creating additional free trade zones in the Outer Rim territories. Despite what I understand were considerable efforts on your part, to the contrary, the shipping cartels face the danger of being broken, and even if not, will certainly have to deal with fierce competition from startup companies. Both Core and Outer Rim worlds should benefit greatly from the arrangement, wouldn't you agree?"
Damask inclined his head in a bow of acknowledgement. "I hadn't heard, Magister. Whom can we thank for swaying the liberals to adopt the amendment?"
"Among others, the Jedi Order lobbied successfully."
"Then it must be for the best."
"One would think," Toneth said slowly, "save for the fact that, in exchange, the Trade Federation will now enjoy full voting privileges in the Senate."
"Ah, well. Appeasements of one sort or another always figure into Senate affairs."
Toneth leaned slightly toward Damask.
"Thank you, however, for suggesting that we invest in Outer Rim and Trans-Perlemian shipping. The results provided a windfall."
"Where and when I can be of service, Chairman?"
Toneth straightened.
"Your clan father would be proud."
Damask looked Toneth in the eye.
"I take that as a compliment."
"How else would I mean it, Magister?"